The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
The best gift you got, you could possibly have, is Jesus. And that's what it's all about. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm going to be brief. Now, I have been known to preach an hour. I haven't done it here. Well, I have done it here, but I've tried to bring it down. I'm actually going to try, if God is, we will go with God, whatever God wants to do. But pastor said to me, you know, I think this would be nice if this is an hour long service. You know, something we can get in, have God move, do his thing. But if God wants to move, go on with it. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try to keep it contained. But as I was working on this message, I said, my goodness, things just started bubbling up. And I said, oh, wow, we could get hung up here. This is a good place to hang out. So we're going to pray and we're going to go on and get into the word. And I just pray God will just speak to us and we'll hear exactly what he wants us to hear today. Amen. Father God, we thank you so much for this day, this opportunity to come before you once again. Oh, we do it every Sunday, Father God. We do it every opportunity we get. But today is a day we've all, this nation has recognized, your birthday. And I thank you that you are Lord. You are King. And we worship you in this place. Hallelujah. How good it is to be in your presence, Lord. I ask today that you would speak to us, that you would just flow through me, Father God, and they would hear all of you and none of me, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I just thank you for it right now. Have your way. Amen. Now, you know, I'm happy we had the video on and we've had the Advent message. So really, if you take this whole service, it should be able to be a whole message. Okay? So some people would get up and preach, or preachers would get up and they would share the Christmas story, you know, about Jesus being born in a manger. And the Lord took me to a different place because we're going to highlight about four different things that it's going to really take for us to allow Christ to be born in us. Amen. So I'm going to take it from a different angle. It's still around the same thing, the birth of Jesus. But I want us to look at it a little bit differently, because some of us would consider and say, well, Jesus was born. It's a done deal. And that is true. Jesus was born. But there still is an opportunity for Jesus to be born each day in us. Amen. So that's the angle we're going to take. And I'm going to try to get it done. Hallelujah. So let's turn to Matthew 2. Matthew chapter 2. And just to bring you up to speed, I like the fact, my goodness, watching that video, I almost wanted to shout, because there's a point in time, I heard a man say a long time ago, it's impossible to declare peace without having dealt with a struggle, without having dealt with some type of battle or war, because peace doesn't just come. Amen? Something has to take place, and then you can declare peace. We were at odds with the Lord. There was a time he would come, his spirit would come and rest on man, but it could not be in man. There was a time each year you had to go and offer a sacrifice. Every year you had to go through the atoning process to cover your sins for the year. And then you'd have to do it again. Never before was there a human able to be offered as a sacrifice. So I get tripped up every now and then when I'm reading the word, because a lot of times when I'm even planning music for this time of the year, I got to remember, this is the birth, this is the birth, this is the birth, because I want to go to the cross. I want to jump to Easter. It's real hard for me to, because when I see him being born, I understand the purpose. Even at that very moment when he was born to die. So it's hard for me to separate the two. So I'm going to try to keep from blending them. But I want us to understand that there was a season where, and I know you've heard this, where we were not okay with God. And then all of a sudden, all these years go by, and they heard it from grandma and grandma's grandma and papa and all these different people. They heard about a promise. How frustrating it is to keep hearing about a promise but never see it materialize. Oh, my goodness. And all of a sudden, on this night, the angels appeared. I'm still talking about the video. This isn't even my message. My goodness. The angel appeared and declared peace on earth. God is no longer angry with you. My goodness, that makes you want to shout. He's not angry with me. I can go to him and not have to worry about, don't hit me. You know what? My dog right now, I call my dog. See, this is why I can't contain a message in the little bit of time I get. But I call my dog and say, come here, Odie. And he thinks he's going to get beat. And so he comes and then he pees on the floor. I just wanted to pet him. I wanted to love on him. You know, in the Old Testament, we were like that. We had the law and we had to fulfill the law. And if we broke any piece of the law, we were in trouble. But grace, Jesus was born. Hallelujah. My goodness gracious. It is a good thing. That's why I get excited. So forgive me if I'm loud. I get kind of crazy. All right. Anyway, let's look here and I better get to my points. All right, it says here in Matthew 2, we're going to read through verse 1 through 7, and I want to bring out some interesting things as I was reading here. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Somebody say Herod the king. Okay, so Herod was the king. And it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Wait a minute. These guys went to the king, Herod, and said, where's this king of the Jews? We'll come back to that. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. You know what? Oh, never mind. Ooh. It's funny because all Jerusalem with him, I'm just thinking about my house. I say my house is happy when my wife is happy. My house is happy when my wife is happy. When my wife's not happy, daddy ain't happy. That just was came to me there. I love my wife so much. But seriously, you know, I tell the kids, hey, we want my mommy, if she wake up with some stomach cramps because she's hungry, hey, you better feed the beast. Now, I'm teasing. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to get it. Anyway, so listen, it said he was troubled in all Jerusalem. When the king was upset, the country was not well. Everybody had to deal with it, okay? And listen here. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I too may go and worship him. All right. Now, why did I read all that? And the title of this would be, where might Christ be born? Where might Christ be born? When I'm reading the word, I can look back and I can see it for historical value, spiritual value, and I can grab that. But at the same time as I'm reading, I'm hearing it in parallel for me today. What's going on? So this word is for me. So when I'm thinking about Christ being born, God said to me, where will he be born today? I said, what do you mean? He's already born. He said, yeah. He was born, but there was a purpose of him being born. And when Jesus was born, or when Jesus emerged in any scene, things happened. And he asked, where is he going to be born next? So if you brought it current to today, we're looking around and I'm just looking, where might God show up in his divine purpose and explode on the scene once again to do his will in the earth? That should be happening in all of us. But there's a plan the enemy has, just like Herod. Herod was troubled. Why? Because Herod was king. And we're not having two rulers up in here. Amen. When I was reading this and I heard ruler, when it talked about not being the least in Judea or in Judah, not being the least in praise, but it's going to raise up this ruler. I also heard standard bearer. You know, something you measure against. So here you got a king already existing, a king already in play. And somebody comes with the nerve to say, hey, where's the king of the Jews? What'd you say? What'd you say to me? Where the king of I'm the king. I'm ruling this joint. Okay, so you're going to get an attitude. And what we have to see right now is many of us have kings operating in our lives that do not want to relinquish their power. And the moment you start allowing Jesus to emerge, he's going to rise up. He's going to be troubled. Home ain't going to be happy. And that's when chaos breaks loose. So I want to point out a couple things. When Jesus shows up on the scene, where Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, wants to emerge in or be born in an area, in order for that to happen, we're going to have to do some things. And I'm taking this scripture here to highlight four things right now. Now, of course, when you do your little list, you probably could come up with more things. But remember, I was trying to hit the main bullets here. So in order for God, or Jesus Christ, to be able to be born in us and do what he wants to do, we must first be tuned in to notice the signs. Imagine these guys, and listen to what they said, because that just is amazing to me. Because they asked where he would be born, and then they said, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship. We have seen his star. Every day we go through life doing our own thing, living our life and whatever purpose we think we're completing. How many signs are we walking past? How many times are we walking past the things God is doing and forgetting to stop and observe him or listen to him and say, God, show me, what is it you have for me? Right now, the devil wants to keep us confused. He wants to keep us so full. It's amazing. My son can play on my iPhone. And I don't know if it was like this when I was a kid, but I have to believe, well, back then, if a parent spanked you in public, nobody went running. Nobody went running and calling children's services. Now, I'm not saying you beat your kids, but I am saying at that time, I have to believe that when my parents called me, I knew to respond very quickly. Now, you take Seth, he can be playing on a game or something. Ivy will call him about four or five times. And when he gets to it, he'll be like, I didn't hear you. And he really didn't. He's an obedient boy, but he didn't hear. The enemy's put so many things in our own hands that will distract us. So God is saying, hey, I'm setting you up over here. If we're going to allow Christ to be born again in us, we're going to have to slow up a little bit and actually expect him and listen for the signs. Amen. What if they had missed the star? They said they saw his star. That means he owned it. I like that, the ownership. They saw his star in the east. I wish I had a star named after me. Shoot. Anyway, it was his star they saw in the east. They recognized, they saw the sign. Amen. That's the first step. You must see the sign. You've got to be in tune with the things of God so that you will notice God. When there's a room full of children playing, I know when my child is there. I can hear. I know Jayden's cry from Seth's cry. I've spent time with them. If we're going to do what God wants us to do, especially even in this day and age, we better be in tune so we can hear and see what he's doing. Second thing we must do, we must act upon what you know is God. When you know it's God, you better act upon it. How frustrating is, you know, if you ever, it'd be better to, now I don't play the lottery, but if I did, it would be better to never hit the lottery than to find out that I hit the lottery and lost my ticket. I would go crazy. They say, the winner is $13 million in the winner. Here's your number. And I'm like, oh, that's the number we had. And Ivy says, oh, was that good? I threw that away. Oh, okay, I'm picking on my wife. I'm just saying, the kids, hopefully the kids don't throw my stuff away. But anyway, all right. Hey, let me tell you something. This is the finest woman in the world. She is a bad rascal. I'm telling you, I love her. I love her. Anyway. Sister Dot said, dig yourself out. Oh, my goodness. But what I'm saying is, sometimes not knowing a thing is better than knowing a thing and having done nothing about it. How frustrating. To have the ability to do something, to know something to do, and to never get it done. So listen, it said right here, it said that they saw his star in the east and have come to worship. We saw something and we did something about it. We didn't just leave it alone. So here they are. If you want to develop what God has in you and let Jesus Christ emerge on your scene, whatever that scene is, you've got to identify when he wants to get up. Sometimes he'll say, hey, you know what? He told Jehoshaphat that, right? When they were about to go into battle, a mighty group came against him. He said, hey, you know what? You can stand still on this one. This is my scrap right here. And you got to be ready to let him go. You got to be ready to let him do what he wants to do. But right now, if we identify what God wants, now we got to deal with, do I do that? You know, I know God is good and I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to come off too abrasive. Maybe I shouldn't do that. That, you know, it's not that way anymore. The world is so more intelligent now and we're so much more civilized. Maybe I shouldn't do that. So then you got to deal with all those voices that say, if you do that, you're going to look like a goofball. You're going to look like you lost your mind. But you must not let the birth of Christ and the death of Christ be in vain in your life. Amen. So you better act upon it. He paid a high price. When Jesus came on the scene and he was birthed, they presented him gifts. And those gifts was for his burial. I can't get into all that now. But so what we need to do is we need to really acknowledge him and respond. Ivy, you tell me when I've gone too long, okay? She's my help. Okay, third, we must realize the emergence of Christ will cause a shift. The emergence of Christ will cause a shift. Don't think Christ is going to come on the scene and operate within your program. He does not fit into your program. Your program must shift to accept his work in your life. Amen? It must shift. The world wants to say, listen, you can do that and do this too. There's some things when Jesus comes on the scene, and he, listen, there's some people, they didn't even invite me anymore to certain parties because I didn't cuss anymore. I didn't smoke weed anymore. You know, I didn't look at the magazines with them anymore. We used to do some crazy stuff. We had a bag, big bag of Doritos, big bag of weed, and all kinds of videos. And we would sit there in my college dorm just watching stupid stuff. When I got saved, I didn't get invited anymore. Things had to shift because I started dropping off things. Because I said, man, God wants to do something with me. You cannot carry that old junk into a new season with God. Amen? You can't do it. I know this doesn't sound like a Christmas message. Wow. This clock must be broke. This thing has not moved. It's still 3:04 on this thing. Okay. All right, so your first point was you must be tuned in to notice the signs. Notice the signs. What is God doing? Two, once you notice the sign, you must be ready to move and go where he wants you. Third thing is you must realize when Christ emerges in your situation, he's going to mess some stuff up. In 1 Samuel, I think in the 6th chapter, Dagon was a god of the foreign nation. And Dagon, these people had captured the Ark of the Covenant and had put it before Dagon. And God kept knocking Dagon over. Boom. Knocked him over one day. They came and, oh, what happened? Dagon fell. Set him back up. God knocked him over another night. Busted the palms off of his hands or busted his face up. They picked him back up. Last time his palms were busted off. What am I saying? God, when he comes into the scene, Jesus, when he comes into the scene, he's going to rattle some stuff. Anything, any existing king you have in your life that is not God, when God shows up, he's going to cause that king to sit down. And you got to let him. Amen? All right, good. So that's the three. Last thing, because understand, it said Herod was troubled, right? I'm just showing you, Herod was troubled, and so he went into active mode, offense mode, trying to deal with some things, or defense mode, I guess. Look at the fourth thing here, and we'll get to it here, is you must listen to hear. You must listen to hear. Okay, there's a difference between listening and there's a difference between hearing. Now, you notice these cats heard the words. I know, I played a lot of jazz, so I say cats. I say it all the time, cats. I'm from another decade or something, century. But anyway, these guys heard the words just like you could hear the words that Herod spoke. And you could take it at face value and say, oh, man, that Herod, we got a king who wants to worship. Awesome, we got a king who wants to worship. And then you can go and just fulfill what you heard or what you were listening to. But when you really get into hearing, actually hearing, God was able to reveal to them the words that he spoke to you, they are not true. That's not his true intent. So if you're going to do what God wants you to do, understand some people will come to you. It will sound like they're encouraging you in what you're going to do, or it will sound like they're wanting to hook up with you and be a strong partner. But really, some are just spying. Some are just there to find out more information. Sometimes when you share your testimony, or actually when you share your prayer request, and you say, this didn't work out, and you're sad about that thing, there are some who feel a little bit more relieved because it lightens the load for them to have to do things and be successful as well. It lightens the pressure. And Herod here, he wants to destroy Jesus. Amen? If you're going to do the things God has for you to do, you're going to have to really listen so that you can hear not just what was said, but God, what are you saying in this thing? Amen. And I can guarantee you, as I look around this room right now, the enemy's been setting up roadblocks and trying to get you to take detours. And we've been trying to take those detours and stay in there too long. But if we're going to honor Christ, which I say we should do every day, we must allow him to be born over and over and over and over. Amen. Let's let Christ do what he wants to do. Hallelujah. Now, listen, I'm done. But if there's anybody in here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, and this sounds foreign to you, I want to give you the opportunity right now. He came for you so that you never again have to have a blood sacrifice, have to offer up lambs and goats each year. No, what he did when he saved you, you're saved. It tells us that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. It's a done deal. And so if you're in this place and you've never accepted Christ, he's here for you. He was born for you, a blameless lamb worthy of sacrifice that would last in eternity. Just show me your hands if you're in here.